So moving now to the Middle East once again, from the Israeli perspective, the crisis in Gaza between Hamas and Israel is actually quite simple.
Hamas needs a real and serious lesson. They are now getting it.
That's Israeli President Shimon Peres speaking yesterday on ABC's This Week. And the U.S. government is apparently willing to allow them teach Hamas a lesson. Here's Vice President Cheney.
I think we'd like to see a ceasefire, but it has to meet those conditions. It's got to be sustainable and durable. It can't just be a resumption to what was there that was violated on the 19th of December by Hamas.
Almost an echoing of what Shimon Peres said there by Vice President Cheney. Not quite, but almost. And here's President Bush in his radio address.
In response to these attacks on their people, the leaders of Israel have launched military operations on Hamas positions in Gaza. As a part of their strategy, Hamas terrorists often hide within the civilian population, which puts innocent Palestinians at risk. Regrettably, Palestinian civilians have been killed in recent days.
Joining us now is Scott Shane, a reporter in the Washington Bureau for the New York Times. Scott, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.
And let me just ask you right off the top, is the language of Bush and Cheney there in the context of the Bush-Cheney war on terror the template for the Barack Obama administration in thinking about possibly mediating this conflict between Israel and Hamas, if indeed that is their intention? Or is it possible that what we're seeing from the Bush administration is a kind of a wink and a nod, go for it, you've got three more weeks, then everything changes?
Well, it's obviously a matter for speculation at this point. Barack Obama has, to the annoyance and disappointment of Palestinians and their supporters, remain silent during this whole 10-day period in which Israel has launched this assault on Hamas. And his aides say that's because we only have one president at a time. There is some feeling that Israel may have timed its attack to get it in before Obama becomes president. They knew they could count on Bush and Cheney to be very strong supporters as they take on Hamas, which the United States officially considers to be a terrorist group. And they weren't so sure about Obama. Although what's interesting, of course, is that even though Obama has not spoken out on this, people have turned back to his visit to Israel in July when he visited a city near Gaza that has been a regular target of Hamas rocket attacks. And made a statement that was, implicitly at least, very strongly supportive of Israel's right to respond. He said, if someone was sending rockets into my house where my two daughters sleep at night, I'm going to do everything in my power to stop that. So at least implicitly, he seemed to recognize that Israel had a right to respond. And in fact, the Israeli defense minister, Ehud Barak, cited that statement in justifying what Israel's done.
So on the surface, it appears that the uncertainty about the Obama administration compared with the certainty of this kind of support they're getting from the Bush administration is driving this to some extent. But there's also, with Hillary Clinton being Secretary of State, a pretty strong record on the part of Hillary Clinton supporting Israel as the New York senator. It's almost a constituency in New York to basically express vocally and repeatedly your support for Israel in a situation like this.
That's absolutely right, and there are other Obama advisors who have a history of being very, very strongly pro-Israel, strong supporters of Israel. I think one other factor that may have played a role in this is Israel may not have wanted to. They may have felt they were going to take this action sometime soon, and they may not have wanted to have this define their relationship with the new Obama administration. They may have wanted to sort of get this underway or perhaps over with before President Obama is inaugurated.
Yeah, indeed, that would argue they would get it over with before the 20th. I hate to put you on the spot here, Scott, and if I am, just tell me to take a hike. But is there any precedent for this kind of a situation where a policy is initiated in this transition period with the expectation that things might radically change with the new administration in the U.S.-Israel relationship?
I have to say, you are putting me on the spot, and I can't think of any.
Yeah, I couldn't either. I was thinking all morning this morning. I think this is an unprecedented situation, and so the question then is it conceivable that this could be finished by January 20th?
Well, I think the ground invasion has made that much less likely, and certainly increased the chance that there will still be fighting going on when Obama takes office. Even if the fighting has quieted, there's no question that he has another sort of crisis on his already rather crowded agenda that he's going to have to face in the first days of his presidency.
One positive note, and maybe it's actually not positive, but from somebody's perspective, it's probably positive. It's difficult to always pin that down, and when you're talking about the Middle East, but it seems as though the rhetoric of this conflict is suddenly down to Hamas versus the world, not so much a Palestinians versus Israel thing, and that may be the first page that Barack Obama picks up on January 20th, that Israel at the very least has managed to narrow the conflict to Hamas, and, you know, the Palestinian movement broadly is more of a moderate institution player here.
That's probably true. At the same time, one of the interesting aspects of this is that Mr. Obama had, of course, promised a new approach to relations with the world in general, and particularly with the Muslim world, and had given positive speeches about starting what he called America houses in Muslim countries that would offer English lessons and internet service, and there was even going to be, maybe there will be, an America's Voice Corps that he would send out to talk about American tolerance and American values. And he also has promised to give a major speech in a Muslim capital in the first 100 days of his presidency. This, at the very least, the fighting between Israel and Hamas shows how events can sort of take over a presidency and shape an agenda, and it isn't necessarily up to Obama to choose when and how he reshapes relations with the Muslim world.
Well, a complicated set of opportunities and challenges. Scott Shane, for the discussion of the timing of this vis-a-vis the inauguration of Barack Obama, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Scott Shane, reporter in the Washington Bureau for the New York Times. He joined us from Maryland.
This is Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.